In today's video, you'll learn about the current state of corporate citizenship. We discuss why employee engagement may not be the best way for companies to help nonprofits and communities, but we explore other ways companies can make a difference. Let's make a social impact. Hi, everyone. I'm Carl. Welcome to the Social Impact Show, a channel where you get the latest strategies and tips to help you scale and grow your CSR and goodness programs. So today, my guest is Matt Gantz, who is a founder and consultant at Evo Advisors, a CSR consulting firm. Thank you very much, Matt, for joining us today.
Thank you, Carl, for having me. I really appreciate it.
So, Matt, the topic we're going to discuss today is corporate citizenship. And, you know, before we delve into, you know, all the specifics, in your opinion, what is the state of corporate citizenship today?
Sure. As it relates to community investment and engagement, right, by corporations who are using conventional CSR strategies, right? I would say these days, corporate citizenship is done via a mix of like old engagement models, right? Old engagement like one-off once a year volunteerism, cleaning up a playground or other site, building a shed, packing meals, or other activities that are kind of done in conjunction with your cause-related calendar. But also more modern approaches such as skills-based volunteerism, right? Both, you know, in this most general form, take up about the same amount of time, right? An afternoon or a full day. One involves a busload of employees in the same colored shirts descending on your campus, right? And the other kind of involves online engagements where a team of skilled volunteers, you know, will work with their nonprofit counterparts over a day to create things such as technical migrations and marketing plans. You know, this is usually done via a consultant like Common Impact or Life Science Cares or something, but, you know, skills-based volunteering, the modern approach, can kind of run anywhere from flash consultancies that create documentation, right, and consequently more work for a nonprofit, to like a series of subsequent engagements that involve implementation. Just saying that not all skills-based volunteering programs are created equal. And before I become too critical, I do want to acknowledge there are the gold standards of these types of engagements, right? Google.org, Google's philanthropic arm, they have tiered volunteering programs from like the hearts and hands of like getting on site to pack meals to short-term skills-based engagements to six-month sabbaticals on site with a nonprofit. And they're not the only ones. Other companies will allow employees who've been with them for like, you know, 5 years or something to take a three-month sabbatical. You know, so that's the engagement piece. But the community investment piece is usually done via, I don't know, small grants of $500 to $1,000, right? These go to organizations where their employees have logged, say, 100 hours of volunteer time. Or maybe they're going to create small nominal grants or matching campaigns, right? Made by the company. And then other investment really comes via tools that companies use, you know, such as Groundswell, which is this, you know, app where you can find vetted nonprofits and that you care about, learn about them and donate, even make recurring donations, you know, via this tool uses a tax advantage donor advised funds. But I would say just to wrap up, just generally, the state of corporate citizenship for me is that it's mostly done via employees, right? It's employee focused. And when I say that, I say it's one dimensional, right? They're using one dimension of their power, their employees, to support communities, right? And some of these hearts and hands, these old engagement models, these efforts kind of can be performative and end up for company newsletters. The caveat being that some smaller companies or smaller companies in general don't have anything more valuable, you know, don't have more valuable resources beyond their employees to give. And they can create engagement opportunities for their employees that are valuable and impactful. My point, lastly, specifically, is that larger companies, especially Fortune 500s, with large networks of municipal partners and money, can really change the game for nonprofits and help them give in more meaningful, ongoing ways beyond employee engagement.
You know, and that leads nicely into the next question, where we're seeing a lot of companies embrace their corporate social responsibility initiatives, right? And then in putting that into the, I guess, putting that into community engagement, community investment. Mm-hmm. But what we're seeing is a lot of these ways that, you know, models of community engagement are a little bit out of date or maybe seen as, you know, inauthentic. So how can some communities who have, like, say, Fortune 500 companies, mm-hmm. how can they engage in a more authentic way than, like you were saying, the everyone comes out in the same t-shirts and, you know, right. whatever the volunteer or activity that they're doing?
Right. They are, you know, rightly criticized for being inauthentic and out of date. I will say, though, that many companies have moved to skills-based volunteerism as a step beyond the more performative busload of employees analogy. Right. All I'm saying is that for large corporations, understand that nonprofits are looking for more than a check. Right. Many are seeking technical expertise for projects that they may be involved in. Right. Maybe networking for help in creating partnerships with key stakeholders in their municipalities. You know, so a company can perform a needs appraisal on their existing partners or partnerships that they're considering creating. Right. And this will give you an overview kind of their specific needs and help identify new pathways of support. And then you identify your own resources for helping, right? This may very well include employees, right? Your network or money, you know, but the goal for a company should be to leverage their most valuable resources to serve the core needs, right? The type of support that you provide is as important as how much you give. Right. Understand that most community engagement in the old days has been performative, and that your directive going forward should be to find new channels of support in an ongoing manner, right? Throughout the year as needed, right? Educate yourself about not just the needs of your individual partners, but understand, you know, the nonprofit ecosystem as a whole, right? Know that they're here to address the needs of underprivileged, underserved communities, and the most issues they address are affecting vulnerable communities of color, right? And that's because of the failures of institutions like, you know, say the EPA, right? As an example, right? To fully protect environmental justice communities, right? Nonprofits exist to advocate for those who can't do it for themselves. So your CSR efforts should exist to help nonprofits in the pursuit of this goal, right? Corporations are a new player, right? Alongside traditional funders to help nonprofits achieve their goals, right? We are not frontline workers, right? They are frontline workers, not us. Like, our goal is funding and offering our most valuable resources, resources that are commensurate with our power, okay? So if the biggest challenge is funding and this hamster wheel that nonprofits are on, that is burdensome and takes a long time and has gaps and generates a lot of the restricted funding, you know, this is the juncture where corporations can come in and help the most, right? So I'm just saying that when companies focus the needs of the nonprofits and not just their employees, right, in their CSR initiatives, then their mindset will change, right? So what I see is CSR 2.0 is a move away from these like employee focused CSR programs.
In other interviews and other conversations, I've actually, I think sometimes companies could be stuck in they're measuring the outputs versus measuring the outcomes. And what I mean by that is, they have these CSR programs that have they're multiple, right? Because employees, unless the company has a very specific directive, like, we're going to only support these three or four organizations or three or four causes. A lot of companies have these they support hundreds, thousands of different causes or activities based on what the employee preference is. So the only way that they can actually measure the impact of their programs would be through outcomes. So like, hey, how many hours did we volunteer? How much donations did we provide this quarter? So I think that could be part of the issue where, that's the only thing that they're looking to provide is more of the outputs rather than actually caring about the nonprofits and the causes that they're working with, right?
Sure. Your previous guest, Jerome Tenniel, has spoken on this program specifically about this, that output doesn't always translate to outcome, I think is how he put it.
Yeah.
You're seeing a lot of platforms that are reporting on the easiest things to report on, logging employee hours, and then basing their matching programs and grant giving based on those things. But they don't always translate to impact. Right. What I'm saying, and I think what CSR professionals would readily say, or at least behind closed doors, is that companies engage in it as, for their employee, because their employees want it. It's a tool to retain and attract talent because Gen Z and millennials care about working for a place that does good. Right. So if they can also do good at the same time, that's great for them. But barring it, we're a couple of years away from like when this really grew, this episodic thing where people are like, we've got to, social justice issues. A couple of years later now, companies are wanting KPIs because their CSR initiatives are like any other line item. It is costing them their money, and they want to validate their investment. So the most useful KPIs wouldn't be how many, millions of volunteer hours over the course of the pandemic, but it would be, is our attrition, did the attrition rate go down? Are we having problems hiring? This is the kind of stuff I believe corporations would want to validate their investment.
Instead of employee engagement, what are some things that companies should focus on when working with a community or working with their causes?
Sure, right. I told myself before this that I didn't want to be too critical of employee engagement because they do have a lot to offer a nonprofit and because smaller companies may not have much more. I'm just saying that by focusing on a nonprofit's core needs, you're bound to find things that employees may not be able to help with, mm-hmm. right? Larger companies with public affairs departments or government relations departments that have municipal partners in the community are particularly well suited to help get a nonprofit those connections, new partners, people with large platforms to amplify their message and get them in the room. And for the larger companies that do have the financial resources, let's spend a little time on the number one challenge of nonprofits, right? Their funding. So I glanced over it, but this hamster wheel of funding, I think nonprofits would tell you, sucks a lot of resources and life out of a nonprofit, right? So if you can provide them with another channel of support, right? In ways that traditional philanthropy cannot, right? And that includes trust-based philanthropic practices, then you have opened a very large door to helping alleviate one of the biggest problems a nonprofit faces, right? So that means when I say trust-based philanthropy, I'm talking about if you're a new funder in the game, you don't have to subject the funder to nonprofits to burdensome application processes. You don't have to restrict their funding. You may not be giving as much as a grant from a foundation, but you can help them get back to their day-to-day work by providing these small cash injections, right? And the network, right? Just getting back to the network. Nonprofits are engaged in a lot of things to help communities. Just here around Boston, community microgrids, heat pumps. Another thing, vulnerable communities of color face are, there's a lot of polluting facilities that developers will kind of push into a community, because if they come into my community, you know, it's the NIMBY phenomenon, not my backyard, you know, and I can take off work on a Tuesday afternoon and find childcare. You know, but if you can help by finding them and retaining them, the subject matter experts that they need and paying for it, you know, I think that's another way besides employee engagement that you can help.
So what are some of the gaps, I guess, that you've seen when between the companies and the nonprofits that they're serving?
Right. That's a great question. Gaps, chasms. Oh, okay. This is what I'll say about that. Okay. But by developing CSR programs, right, that are employee focused, I think they miss other ways that they can support a nonprofit's core needs, right? Let's just say that not all nonprofits' needs can be addressed by skills-based volunteering efforts or small nominal donations and corporate matching, right? So let me just back it up. Right? Like CSR professionals, they're aware of the reasons companies are prioritizing, you know, social impact initiatives, right? But the larger population may kind of be conflating, you know, a company's messaging with their intentions, right? And so let me just shed a little bit of light, right? They embark on a CSR initiative for a simple reason: their employees want it. And an effort to retain and attract the best people, it's a tool companies wield as a weapon in the talent war, right? CSR centers employees as a means to keep attrition down, employee satisfaction up, right? But what about the other stakeholders, right? What about nonprofits, right? What about community organizations, right? A company doesn't endeavor to do CSR without community partners, right? The question, you know, what's the ROI for a nonprofit from a corporate partnership, right? How much do they benefit from one-off, once-a-year volunteerism, lunch and learns, flash consultancies, from skills-based volunteerism? You know, if I were an executive director at a nonprofit and I was looking at a partnership opportunity with a corporation, right, especially a Fortune 500, then I'd probably be interested in getting access to their network of municipal partners to help me get my message out. Maybe asking them, like I said, to hire the subject matter experts that I need, that I can't afford, you know, on an ongoing basis. When a company like engages with frontline workers, they are, in a sense, co-opting their message, right, for a time. And that message is valuable. And I'm just saying that I wonder if nonprofits ever feel a bit, say, unsatisfied with what they're getting in return. Maybe they're getting the raw end of the deal. Okay, so I'm not going to say, and I'm not saying that employee engagement is a bad thing, but I do wonder, right, if you talk about gaps, if there was a room for centering nonprofits and community organizations a little more in this process, right? Right, because for a nonprofit, a company throwing more employees at the situation doesn't always correlate with increased impact.
On that note, in your opinion, what is the most impactful way then that a company could help a nonprofit?
Right, depending on their needs, obviously you have to align with them, but a large company, for me, first and foremost, it's money, right? Large corporations typically reinvest, give about 1% of their pre-tax earnings to charitable giving, right? It's a lot of money for a large corporation. The number one challenge for nonprofits is funding, right? They can take their resources, their time, their spirit. It can interrupt their most important activities. And the funds that they give can be restricted, right, to one part of your effort and not support others. So money given in a different way than traditional philanthropy can alleviate what is commonly referred to as the number one problem of nonprofits, which is funding, right? You are a new player in the funding game, right? You're a funder. You're not beholden to the ways of traditional grants used by funders, right? You can implement some of these trust-based philanthropic practices, unrestricted fundings for employee salaries, right? Infrastructure, multi-year grants, no burdensome application process. And you can do all of this using your donor advised funds, right? To realize tax advantages from your giving. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to, you know, espouse donor advised funds, but, you know, here I'm just saying, you know, there's plenty to be critical of there, but yes, they can realize advantages in their giving.
You know, so CSR initiatives, are meant to do good in the community, boost a community company's reputation, engage and retain a company's workforce, right? But let's reverse that a bit. What do you think the return on investment for a nonprofit would be engaging in that corporate partnership?
Right. Well, what I was just saying before, right? It's, my answer is there's a lot left on the table for a company that can offer more, right? An executive director who's like, employees and skills-based volunteering, and I'm not really getting a lot, and they're getting a lot, right? I'm just saying that, you know, if we have to validate, if we as a corporation have to validate our CSR investment, I think it's just fair for a nonprofit to be able to do the same. You know, center the nonprofit, you know, give them your most valuable resources. I think that's really what I think, because I think that nonprofits are really getting the raw end of the deal with corporations, with most, not all.
Do you think, though, that probably stems from maybe that first initial contact or first engagement between a nonprofit and a company where, you know, they're having the conversation and maybe the company has like, you know, they are basing their conversation on, you know, the CSR goals or social impact goals, D&I goals, ESG goals that they have to meet. So they're coming at it like, well, we have to meet these goals. So these are the type of things, employee engagement, that we want to help you with. And a nonprofit would be like, well, we don't necessarily need skills-based volunteering. That's great, but we'll take it anyway because we'd rather have it than not. But I think maybe it's at the beginning where a nonprofit would be like, well, actually, we would love if you can provide this, not necessarily a skills-based volunteering help that you may, you know, provide. Like, could that be part of the cause?
Of course. Yeah, you're right. I mean, listen, you know, you want to, you know, employees care about working for a place that does good, right? But maybe not all employees want to volunteer. I would say that given the choice, I would say an employee might care about working for an organization that gives in a way that's commensurate with their power. But you can achieve the DEI is a separate issue, right? It overlaps obviously with CSR, but you can measure your DEI initiatives a lot more easily than your CSR, right? By looking at the diversity of your workforce. DEI will certainly bring you out into the community at some point, but CSR is hard. I would say if your, you know, a CSR initiative's goals are to boost their reputation by doing good and keeping their attrition rate down and attracting new talent, you know, you can achieve those goals without having to do employee engagement, right? If increased volunteer hours were interfering with productivity, you know, these initiatives would fall by the wayside. You can do good in the community with less effort and less time for your employees by leveraging some of your other resources. You know, I understand. I think you and I had spoken about it about a week ago where we're just like, CSR 1.0 has got this and that, but what do you think CSR 2.0 is going to look like?
So, and maybe you've answered this already, what are some non-financial resources a company can provide to a nonprofit? Because like you mentioned, you know, employee engagement or donations. What are those things that a company can provide? Because sometimes maybe that is the case where that's all they know at the same time too. It's like, because other companies, that's usually the standard practice, right? It's like, either employee engagement or donations. Like, what are some of the things that, you know, that could spark some like creativity from companies?
Right. I would simply say network, right? And so in the same way that a consultancy might come in and be like, we're going to run a skills-based volunteer efforts. You know, this is our nonprofit. They need to migrate some databases and do this. And we're going to go find some people in the company that kind of do that and want to volunteer. You could go in and be like, okay, who's got, you know, high-level connections, you know, in a community? I mean, think about it. Think about it from an emerging nonprofit's needs, right? They're small, right? Maybe they're living with the effects of, you know, on the front lines of environmental hazards, co-located in industrial communities, dealing with flooding. You know, their work is great. They're new, right? And their work is great, and their work is important. What do they need? They need people that are in high places to give them connections to amplify their message, right? So network. I'm going to say, I don't know if I brought this up yet, political action committees. You know, a lot of large companies have political action committees, and they will petition their employees from time to time to be like, hey, you know, through our political action committee, you can advocate for things that would help our company. Right. What if you use your political action committee to support a local political candidate that have bold environmental initiatives? Right. Something along those lines. These are the kind of resources that you can help vulnerable communities to use. This is what you can offer them, basically. Your internal network.
So, Matt, do you have anything else? You know, you could obviously talk about this for a very long time, but do you have anything else to add, you know, to wrap up, like what we're talking about in terms of corporate citizenship today?
Sure. Like, so if I'm going to think about CSR 2.0, and first I want to thank you for the time. I would just say that, you know, companies love to say that their employees are their greatest resource. And in many cases, that may be true. But when it comes to supporting communities and being an agent of change, right, like many want to do and have in their mission statements, then I would respectfully disagree. You know, cash and network can take your community partners further. You know, CSR efforts, like I said, they're an attempt to help companies keep their workforce, right? Focuses on the employees first. Helping the community is a means to an end, right? I think about it like this. Imagine that you are Batman. Gotham is burning and the commissioner needs your help. You send Robin. You're helping, but you're not really doing everything that you can. And this is my criticism of CSR initiatives that focus primarily on employee engagement efforts. You know, for what I see as the next version of CSR, companies driving change in ways that are commensurate with their power. Thank you, Carl.
Thank you. So, Matt, if any of our audience wants to connect with you or with Evo Advisors, what's the best place to reach you?
Sure. EvoCCS.com is our website. And I can be found Matthew Gans on LinkedIn or Evo Advisors on LinkedIn and @advisors_Evo on Twitter or matt.gans@gmail.com.
Thank you for listening to the Social Impact Show. Make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. Then visit benevity.com to access some of the resources mentioned in this episode, along with tons of other insights to help you grow your program. Music provided by Ikeson. For questions or topics you want us to cover, reach us at podcast@benevity.com. Until next time, be a force for good.